So I was thinking about how certain things in life seem to come in threes. Have you ever experienced that? From the scouts, you know, to survive in the wilderness, we learn of three basic needs: food, water, shelter. As human beings, we're made up of mind, body, and spirit. It said that things just seem to happen in threes: good things, bad things, things that don't even seem to matter so much. In photography, I've been doing photography since, I don't know, probably fifth, sixth grade or so. And they have what they call the rule of thirds, where when you're viewing through your camera viewfinder, you imagine that image. Think of like a tic-tac-toe board in there, okay? You divided your frame in thirds horizontally and vertically. And the idea is that for the most power from that picture that you're taking, that photograph, you want your object to be in where the crosshairs are, where the intersections. If you put it in the center, you know, it's going to be a little more bland than if it was just a little off-center where those lines are. It's called the rule of thirds. From pulp culture, we have the Three Stooges, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, the Three Blind Mice, and the Three Musketeers. Oh, yeah, all right. How many of you like Three Musketeer candy bars? Yeah. You know, the Three Musketeers candy bar was introduced 90 years ago this year. M&M Mars Company. But do you know why it's called the Three Musketeers? I mean, you know, you bite into one, and it doesn't really seem to be three parts, right? You got this nougat, this whipped chocolate mousse inside, and then maybe it's covered with some chocolate, but why would they call this the Three Musketeers? Anybody know? Grandma, Grandpa ever tell you how the Three Musketeer bar has changed over the time? Well, originally, the Three Musketeers had three pieces in one package: chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla. Yep. The name was derived from that 1844 French novel, The Three Musketeers, by Alexandre Dumas. So now you know. You never know what you're going to get when you come to church with Pastor Ken. When World War II came around, you know, the restrictions, sugar and so forth, became scarce, and so the vanilla and the strawberry went aside, and they went with chocolate, which was the most popular. But you know, the Three Musketeers, they had a slogan, right? Who can remember? Who knows what the slogan of the Three Musketeers are?
One for all.
Yes? Okay. One for all, and all for one. So in this world of threes, I want to explore this idea on Trinity Sunday, a time set aside to acknowledge that, yes, we worship one God, but he manifests, he shows himself, he reveals himself to us in three distinct ways. And I think the Three Musketeer motto could hold true for the Trinity as well. One for all, and all for one. Listen as Deanna shares in our scripture message this morning.
You can follow along on the screen, I think. And bear with me, because I'm having a little bit of trouble with my vision this morning. So, the first is Psalm 8. And according to my New International Bible, it says it's a psalm of David's. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then John 16, 12 through 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
One for all for one. Or in the original French, I had 4 years of French plus some college classes. Un pour tout, tout pour un. One for all for one. In Alexander Dumas's story of the Three Musketeers, they were a company of the King's Guards, if you will. They fought for king and country. And I find that motto even more fascinating today. In a culture that seeks what is best for me. Me, myself, and I. Not necessarily what is best for others. All for one and one for all. That speaks of a deep unity, right? This bond. If one gets into trouble, everyone goes into battle for the other in his honor. All for one means that the group supports each of its individual members. So if one was in need, all of the group would come to his or her aid. Jesus says, if one suffers, we all suffer in the church. One for all. The individual is all in for his group or her group. Or its cause is more than for just himself or herself. They put the needs of the group or the cause above their own. One for all for one. Means that each member of the group understands that everything hangs together only if one is willing to make a sacrifice for the rest. Is that not what God did through Jesus? The Trinity. One of those churchy words, I know. But just think of the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, Jesus. And when Jesus went back into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, yet one God. It's important for us to understand. So different, but so in unity. We'll explore that a little bit here in a moment. But do you remember last week's scripture passage from Acts chapter 2. We were reading about Pentecost and the beginning of the church. So listen here again. as we are reminded. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And awe came over every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Do you see that unity there? And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all the others, anyone who had a need, and day by day attending the temple together, coming to worship, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church in the book of Acts is an example to us of what such unity looks like. They were united under one cause, together, one for all for one. I'm not talking about a candy bar. This is something much, much greater. Seeking what was best for the entire body and not for self. I realize it's easy for me to say up here and forget about the world. You know, we're part of a greater kingdom. But it's true that they gave of themselves gladly and generously to help provide for others, to advance the cause. This unity, this self-sacrifice was a way of living. And there's no doubt in my mind that God blessed them. Their numbers increased. And believe me, I'm the first to say, it's not all about numbers, right? I have said that from the very beginning of my ministry. If one person is growing, that blesses God. That pleases God. But when we read this passage from Acts, doesn't that excite you? You know, doesn't that breathe life into your soul that these amazing and miraculous things that God did so long ago in Acts, they can still happen today in each one of your lives? In the lives of your family, in the life of this church. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the same power as these disciples, these apostles did in the early church. Do we accept that? Do we make ourselves available for that? If we could just better understand one for all for one. You know, we're in this gig for one purpose only, to bring glory to God. We're not in it for ourselves. And so sometimes we have to step back and we have to ask, why am I doing this? Whatever this is, fill in the blank. What's the vision? And again, boy, I know it can be tough because, you see, pride gets in our way. The world has us thinking, what's in this for me? What's most convenient for me? What am I getting out of this? When really, we should be asking, what is in this for God? What is His will? What is God getting out of this? Only when Christ's church comes together in such unity will we truly understand this idea of all for one and one for all. And I understand we don't find that phrase in the Bible. So someone could come up to me afterwards and start to argue with me, "That's not scriptural, Pastor Ken." To which I would respond, but the evidence is there through the Trinity. "Oh, but Pastor Ken, I don't even see the word Trinity in the Bible anywhere." No, the word isn't there, but the relationship is. We see the evidence at Jesus' baptism, God the Father, God the Son there on the banks of the Jordan, God the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, all present, all accounted for. Now, likewise, all for one and one for all may not have been quoted by Jesus, but we can see the evidence of this threefold nature of God in our scripture passage this morning from John. This is Jesus talking. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus approaches God and said, 'I want you to send the Spirit,' he will come and he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me," again, this is Jesus talking, "because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine." So you see here in this passage, we have Jesus, we have God, the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, "That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he has made known to you." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all present and accounted for. They relate to each other in one common purpose. And so it should be for each one of us. So it should be for the church. You know, let's think about this. Why did the Holy Spirit create the church on Pentecost? Why does the Holy Spirit continue to breathe life into the church today? One of the professors that I've had a couple times for my course of study classes, Dr. Jason Vickers, he wrote a book called Minding the Good Ground. And he says there in that book, "The Holy Spirit works in and through the church to bring us into communion with God the Father through Jesus Christ, the eternally begotten Son." In other words, the mission of the church and ultimately the vision, the outcome, if you will, the result that God is seeking should be centered on the Holy Trinity. Not on us. That mission, as I interpret it, is a three musketeers relationship. You've heard me say it, and you're going to hear me till my last days. To be in relationship with God, with others, with his creation, and with ourself in a way that brings God the glory. All for one, one for all. Now, having loved grammar, yeah, think back to your English classes. How many other hands am I going to get on that one? How many of you like grammar? Didn't like the literature part so much, right? But grammar, oh, I loved it. Junior high, seventh grade, all we did the whole school year was diagram sentences. Oh, I loved it. I know what a dangling participle is, you know? I love it. But you know, in reflection, the serious part of that is, that's why when I went to Ohio University, I scored in the 98th percentile in the United States in grammar. Now, I can't speak a lick, you know? My subjects and verbs, they're not going to agree all the time, but I recognize it, right? Well, so junior high, high school, you know, I think that's part of what maybe pulled me into journalism. I love taking apart words and sentences. And you know, prepositions, they're such an important part of our grammar. Just changing one word can change the whole meaning of what we're trying to convey. And so if we look at this nature of the church through the lens of grammar for a second, we could say that the church or Christian community is the ministry of Jesus Christ to the Father through the Holy Spirit for the sake of the world, for the sake of the church. Do you catch the prepositions in there? Do we need to have a grammar lesson this morning? Right? Of, to, through, for. Of Jesus Christ. Ministry does not center on us. Now, we can get joy from it, you know. But it's about Jesus. Period. His ongoing ministry of offering himself to others through us, through the church, through this Christian community. To the Father. Paul writes in Romans 15:6, "Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The end game is that Jesus' ministry through us exists to glorify God. And as such, it should be directed to God, the Father, not determined by whatever's out there in the world or whatever it is that we're feeling. All the agendas, put them aside. There's one reason: to glorify God. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, while the Holy Spirit is present in all believers, the question becomes, is the Holy Spirit foremost in your life? What Paul would call being filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit this morning? We need to ask, who's in the driver's seat? Who's in control? And only when we surrender to the Holy Spirit are we able to effectively minister to bring glory to God. It's what it's all about. For the sake of the world. That's what brings God the glory. When we make ourselves available to get rid of this baggage that pulls us down, all this baggage that distracts us, God uses us in some pretty amazing ways to lay the foundation, to plant some seeds so that he can transform the heart. Amen? You know, make yourself available. And then one last thought in regards to this type of unity that we find in the triune God, that is God in three persons, equally wise, equally powerful and good. They depend on each other, exist in perfect harmony. There have been many ways to try to describe the Trinity, this relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know, the bottom line is, it's just one of those things that I think in our finite human minds, we're not going to fully get. Okay? St. Patrick used the shamrock to try to explain the Trinity. I've seen the egg used. You know, you've got the shell and the yolk and the whites, three parts, yet an egg, or an apple. You've got the peel, the seeds, the flesh. Water. You got water in the form of ice and steam and liquid. But you know, each one of those attempts falls short for one reason or another. And here's one that I came across. It comes from the world of music. Think about a chord. Okay? So you've got a chord that is based upon a bass note. So you would pick any white key, put your thumb on it, although I've got my left hand up here, right? And then you would skip a white key, and you'd put your index finger on the next one. And then you'd skip one more and put your middle finger on the next white key. Three distinct notes, right? But then if you press down your thumb, index finger, and middle finger, you get a chord. Three distinct sounds existing in perfect harmony. Three things that are also one. The threeness and the oneness working perfectly together, giving us a picture of God. One God, like a chord. Three persons, like the individual notes. All existing in relationship, in perfect harmony. I think that's part of what it means to be created in God's image. We're created for relationship. And we kind of have a Trinitarian part to us. In mind, body, and spirit, and how those relate to each other. One for all. And all for one. So may the God of infinite patience, his loving presence, and his dazzling surprises be with us as we leave this place today. Guide and guard your lives and bless your witness to your love. Go in peace. Amen.